you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to continue our study in the book of Acts. This evening, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 7, verses 37 through 43, or 38 through 43. Again, Acts chapter 7, we're going to be looking at verses 38 through 43. And the Word of God says this. This is the one, talking about referring to Moses. This is the one whom was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers. He received the living oracles to give to us. Our father refused to obey him, but thrust him aside, and in their hearts they turned to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make for us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses who led us out from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered a sacrifice to the idol and were rejoicing in the works of their hands. But God turned away and gave them over to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring to me slain beasts and sacrifices during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You took up the tent of Moloch and the star of your God, Rephan, and the images that you made to worship. And I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Let us pray and ask the Lord for help with these verses. And let's walk through this text here this evening together. Our Father God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for bringing us back to be back in your word again. Lord, allow your word, Lord, to penetrate our heart, Lord, here today. Oh, great God, allow that to happen today. And let us honor you, Lord, with our ears and with our hearts, Lord, as we listen to your word. Let us be attentive to your word. Build us up where we're weak, Lord, because I am so weak right now, Lord. I need your strength, Lord, as I work through your word. Help me, Lord. Again, Lord, I'm so unprepared, Lord. I am so weak right now. So help me deliver your word, Lord, rightfully and truthfully. So be with your servant. In Christ, let me pray. Amen. One person says, I'm not sure what provisions, protections, or direction you need from God today. But remember this, God's way is often through the sea. God's way is often through the sea. What do you mean by that? The Red Sea. He puts his children in precarious positions on purpose. He doesn't do this to destroy our faith. He does it to strengthen it. And once he's helped us step across the threshold of our straining circumstances, we will see him as the wise and truthfully trustworthy Redeemer he is. Where's he getting at? A lot of time when trials and things are tough in our life, we ask the question, where's God? Why is God, if it's God that truly exists, why am I going through this? The quote I just mentioned to you guys, a lot of time when God allows us to go through things, it's not to destroy our faith, it's to strengthen our faith. The person goes on to say this, he designs his way through the sea, which is the Red Sea, so that his children will look back on their lives and forever see that his ways are good and his love is faithful. So a lot of time when difficulty come our way, a lot of time we make it through it. You know, I don't know if you guys ever play football. You know, you got tour days and things of that nature in football, and you do this intense practice before the season start up. It's intense practice. Like, why are we running all these laps? And why are we running these, you know, they're doing these suicides? Why are we doing all these things in practice? But over time, you know that your endurance is built up. You know, over time, you know that your character is built up. Then you might even have a little swagger about yourself. I don't know if y'all use the word swagger. You know, I like the word dapper. I'm using the right dapper lately. You might have a little something about yourself. Now you go out there, you can compete with everybody. But be honest, but beforehand, early in the season, you want to give up. You didn't know the reason before all that. And I think that's the same thing what God does. A lot of times we don't understand the reason why we go through pain and suffering, trials, and failing classes, and going through a heartache, and all these things that are happening all around you. If we believe God is real and God is present, and everything happened for God's glory, God is allowing us to go through it. He is allowing us to go through it. He's not the author of our problems and things, the sin, the fallen world. But God uses this fallen things to build our faith, to build our trust, and develop character in us for us to look more like his son. And this person ends off with this. He said, trust in him today, child of God. Follow his way, even when it lead you through the sea. Regardless of where kind of things go through, right? Through this Red Sea, there's no way we can cross through this Red Sea, right? It's nowhere. Pharaoh chariots is behind us. They're coming to kill us. The Red Sea is in front of us. We cannot swim over this Red Sea. We got thousands of people with us right now. What can we do right now? And he said, the Lord's way is through the sea. Regardless of them not having any way out of this, God taught them to trust him. And as they trusted the Lord as they went through, the Lord opened up the Red Sea and he brought them through it. And that's what it's teaching us here as well in this message, what I just said in an introduction. God is teaching us as well. He's teaching us endurance and trust. But hey, even though I said all that, the message today is totally opposite of what I just said. It's totally opposite. The people in Israel today, they're going to reject him. They're not going to listen to what I just told you guys just a few moments ago. And that's what I want to go ahead and let you guys know up front, is that God's way is through the sea. And God cared for his people. But the people we're going to talk about today, they forgot that. They forgot his goodness. They forgot his creation. And let's go and see how they end up at the end of this message. If I can give this message a title, is God turned away from Israel. We're going to do the 3 points. Moses received the oracles of God in verse 38. Point number 2, the fathers rejected Moses in 39 to 41. And point number 3, God gave them over to worship the host of heaven. Verses 42 to 43. So let's jump right into point number 1, family. Moses received the oracles of God. This is the one who was in the congregation of the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai. And with our fathers, he received the living oracle to give to us. So what's going on here in this text? Stephen is continuing today with telling us about what he told the Sanhedrin about Moses. Again, what happened in here is that Stephen is one of the deacons in the church. Jesus at this time, for you guys that are new to this text, at this time right here, Jesus, he lived a life, right? Jesus lived a perfect, righteous life. All of us have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. Everybody in Israel have sinned. Everybody has missed the mark of what God has called us to do. God is faithful. We're not faithful. So Jesus Christ come on the scene, and he is called to live the life that we are supposed to live. So the same laws that the Israelites are supposed to keep, to love God and love your neighbor, Jesus was told to love the Father and love his neighbor. We was told to love the Father and love the neighbor. We didn't love the Father. We didn't love neighbor. We have broken God's command. We have sinned. For all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Jesus comes on the scene, and Jesus is perfect. He never sinned. He's perfect all the way to death. You might ask the question, what is the purpose of him being perfect? What's going on with this? Well, by Jesus being perfect, Jesus is bringing salvation to those that are not perfect. So we all have sinned before God. By Jesus living a perfect life, that now he's going to be able to save and redeem the people. How is that possible? Your next question might be, well, Jesus is perfect and we're not. So with Jesus on the cross, Jesus what? Say, Father, let me take their punishment on the cross. Let me get punished for them. And I'm going to give them my righteousness. You know, I told you guys that Jesus lived a perfect life. That perfect life Jesus lived, he gave it to those who the Father set aside from the foundation of the world. So the Father has redeemed. Father has chose people, and the Father has redeemed them with what Christ has done, and Christ has made them righteous. What about Jesus? If Jesus gives them his perfect life, what about Jesus? Jesus takes the punishment that we deserve. He dies. And the same people he came to save are the same people that actually put him to death. So Jesus died for, say, no reason. I mean, he's a perfect God, right? He's perfect. But it tells us in the scriptures, again, I talked about it earlier, for he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we can become the righteousness of God. That Jesus became sin for sinful people. And by doing that, Jesus secures heaven for them. But Jesus got to get justice. Jesus got to get punished. And he was punished. And now the people that killed Jesus in the Sanhedrin and the Roman government, they said, yes, we killed him. Jesus is over with. His ministry is over. I told you guys, he wasn't the Son of God. I told y'all he wasn't the Son of God. That, hey, he said he was. He said he was all these things. But guess what? He's dead. And they said early. It wasn't some old preacher. Said early, right? Early that morning. Sunday morning, right? Early that morning, he rose back up in all power. And guess what? And he showed himself before the people. And many people saw him, that he actually lived. And so the people thought his ministry was going to stop. I was killing Jesus. His ministry was going to stop. But them doggone Christians, his followers, they're like, that's just nuisance. They won't go nowhere. They won't just go away. After Jesus dies, he raised up some people just like him, his disciples. And they live a life just like Jesus. And guess what we're going to learn later? All of them going to die. Now we're in 2021. We got all these people still are Christians living just like, trying to live just like Jesus. So the more they try to kill Jesus, the more Christianity spread. Well, one guy that actually was living a life that was faithful, one guy was named Stephen. Stephen is one of the ones as well as a follower of Jesus. And so Stephen is now, he's brought before the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin are questioning him, like, are you a follower of Jesus? They ask him all these different questions. And they came to the actual, to the verdict that this same Stephen, he's blasphemed God. If you're a follower of Jesus, that means he doesn't like Moses, doesn't like the people in the Old Testament. He doesn't like these things. So for them, they brought all these charges against Stephen. It sounds very familiar, doesn't it? The same charge they brought towards Stephen, they brought the same charges towards Jesus. So you saw what happened with Jesus. Jesus was put to death. So the next person in line to be put to death is a guy named Stephen. And Stephen is actually preaching God's word and telling everybody salvation can only be found in Jesus. So Stephen is teaching right about who God is, but now they're questioning and saying that, well, Stephen is not talking about who God is. They're trying to find something bad about Stephen so Stephen can be put to death. So what is Stephen doing? Stephen is actually talking before them, letting them know that, hey, that's gossip. This is who God is. And Stephen explained, he told us who Abraham was in the Old Testament, who Isaac was, who Joseph was. Stephen to tell him everything, this is what I believe. So it's like this questioning, you know, are you truly related? You know, I don't know if you guys got somebody in your family, like a celebrity or something, they might ask, you know, are you truly related to this person? If so, tell me his mama name. Tell me his cousin name. What high school he went to? Who was this person? What are these things going on? You might ask, I didn't ask all these questions just trying to see, are you telling the truth? And did that with Stephen. So tell me about Moses then. Tell me about these people. Are you really telling the truth? And Stephen is dropping dimes on them. Stephen letting them know that, hey, Moses is this man. Joseph is this man. And so today is the last section that Stephen deals with right here on the section of Moses. And after Stephen finished with Moses, then he's going to tell them what the temple is, what KJ is going to be picking up next week. So Stephen here today is saying, is giving this major emphasis on Moses. That this, it says right here in verse 38, this is the one we know is, it's the one that's Moses. Stephen wanted to be clear as possible of his acknowledgement, of his knowledge of Moses. Stephen wanted to make sure that they understand that the Moses that they believe is the same Moses that he know. And Stephen uses this demonstrative pronoun four or five times in verses 35 to 40. Think in verse 35, or 38 and 35, you see the word this. He keeps using the demonstrative pronoun this, this, this. What is Stephen doing? He's spitting bars. Come on, y'all. He's harmonizing here. He's harmonizing. That's why he keeps using the word this. This Stephen, this, I mean, this Moses, this, this. He's harmonized. Stephen is feeling it right now. He got some swagger going on right now. For example, I don't know if you guys remember Tom Brady when he played at the University of Michigan. We're not going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Let's talk about Tom Brady. When he played at the University of Michigan, this same Tom Brady wasn't the best quarterback in the draft. This same Tom Brady was horrible. I don't know if you ever seen his highlights at the combine. He was out of shape. I mean, like, he's just been drinking beer all the time. Like, he just had a pot belly. He was horrible. Like, there's no way that he can be able to be this good as a quarterback. Like, this Tom Brady, right? The same Tom Brady. He was a sixth round pick in the NFL draft. I mean, nobody projected this guy to be good. I mean, sixth round. Out of shape. Same Tom Brady, right? Played behind Drew Bledsoe. But also, the same Tom Brady leads the NFL in passing yards. The same Tom Brady leads the NFL in completion. The same Tom Brady leads the NFL in touchdown passes. I can keep going on with statistics, right? The same Tom Brady won 7 Super Bowls. But did you notice how I started off with? I started off with all this bad news about Tom Brady. How terrible he was. So somebody told the story, he won 7 Super Bowls. It's no way. This dude was winning the 6th round of the draft. It's no way. How could it be possible for Tom Brady to be this good and he actually looked so terrible in the combine? Well, Stephen does something very similar to Moses. He starts this off with Moses. Moses, he ran over to Midian. This same Moses was rejected by the people. The same Moses, you know, that stayed over in Midian for 40 years. Same Moses, remember, at his birth, he was threatened at his birth. He almost got a key. He grew up in Pharaoh's home. He grew up in the home of the pagans in Egypt. But the same Moses, it's the same one that God bring before this burning bush, and God revealed himself to it. That doesn't work against each other. God is showing us his nature. God used broken people for his glory. And Moses was a broken person, but God uses Moses, and he shows Moses before the people. And what Moses tells us in our text, it was in the congregation. The word congregation is the same word we know as, in the English, as ecclesia. Ecclesia, which means church and assembly. So Moses was in this. So when Jesus used the word church or assembly, they knew what that means. They knew what that meant. It wasn't a new word. Okay, this is church. The Old Testament congregation of Israel was considered a church as well. But Jesus letting us know that this is the true church that he's establishing. It's a comparison there. So the word church would have been familiar to Moses. And the Lord God appeared to Moses while in the wilderness with the people. And God would call Moses up to the mountain to reveal things to Moses. And Moses would receive the oracles of God. The word oracles, I don't know if you guys, in your translation you have in there, in verse 38, the word oracles. It's a word, same word as like logos, logia. It's the same word we know as it comes from the word, derived from the word. Or speaking, or saying. So Moses received these sayings from the Lord. The living word from the Lord, Moses received. So Stephen is giving an amazing breakdown of the life of Moses. But still, the people are going to reject Moses regardless of his background. That brings to point number 2. The fathers reject Moses. We just learned that Moses received the oracles of God. He received the word of God. And God is about to use Moses. But still, the people reject Moses. But before we spend a lot of time on point number 2, Let me give some context one more time, okay? One person profoundly says this right here. And kind of the same thing I said earlier, God's way is often not our way. His perfect path isn't the one we always foresee for ourselves. His way is higher and wiser and better. After Israel's deliverance from Egypt, the Lord directed his people towards the promised land. A pillar of cloud led them by day and a pillar of fire by night, Exodus 13:21. He guided his people. They made their steps with ease and comfort. He was with them. But then the Lord lovingly took his children on a detour to both test and teach. He called them to camp on the beach in front of the Red Sea. He ordained this curious camp out because he knew a hardened Pharaoh would see it as an opportunity to pounce on his people again. God commanded Israel to camp there so they would be pressed by uncertain circumstances. What strange love is this? That the Lord will put his people in a position of danger and distress on purpose. God uses different paths for us by strengthening us through the different paths. And that's what I'm saying here is that Moses, they could have went on winning the promised land, but God held him right to the Red Sea to show his glory to Pharaoh, to also show his glory to actual Moses and the people. Right? That should be easy to catch on to. But listen to this in verse 39. Our father refused to obey him. My goodness. But thrust him aside, and in their hearts they turned to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make for us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses who led us out from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered a sacrifice to the idol, and were rejoicing to the works of their hands. Stephen uses persuasive language here. He said, our fathers. So Stephen is considering himself part of this Hebrew community. And regardless of Moses' faithfulness, the people refused to obey him. Remember, I just told you guys that Moses was, they could have went on across into the Red Sea, but God stopped them there to show his glory to Pharaoh and show his glory to the people. It seemed like they could have built their faith. It seemed like that God was going to use it to build them and encourage their faith, but the opposite happened. God gave them a test and they failed. Our father refused to obey him. They didn't see that God was giving them a test. God was using this test and giving it to show them their own heart. But they missed that. Moses was faithful, but they were not faithful. And it got so bad, the people's heart turned back to Egypt. And so they thrust them aside. This thrusting and everything is this. Not just pushing. It's more emphatic than the word push. They kind of like carried him to the side. They didn't want to hear him. They thrust him to the side, and their hearts, they turned to Egypt. They didn't trust Moses. They didn't trust God. They trusted their own heart. I guess for them, slavery just wasn't that bad. Slavery just wasn't that bad to be in the wilderness with God and Moses. For them, they turned it back on the Lord and we want to go back into bondage in Egypt. It wasn't Moses making them uncomfortable. It was their own heart making themselves uncomfortable. And it got so bad, Stephen shares with us how Aaron led them in building the calf. Moses and Stephen's life is a testimony that following after the Lord, you will be rejected. Following after the Lord, it will be tough. Moses was rejected by the same people he came to help. Stephen is rejected by the people that he came to help. And ultimately, we know that Jesus was rejected by the same people he came to save. And family, if it happened to Moses, if it happened to Stephen, if it happened to Jesus, why do we think we're going to get a pass? We're not going to get a pass. People are going to reject us in this world. They don't want the message that we want to share with them. They want the things of this world that lead to damnation. They want the desires of the world that lie to them and tell them to come after me. It can be pornography. It can be lust. It can be pride. Whatever the case may be, it say, come after me. I am good news. I am good news. Then you go after of it. If you thought it was good news, and come to find out, it was a false gospel. It was a false news. It was a temporary happiness. I don't know about you guys, when I partake in sin, it might feel or smell good in that moment, but later on, when that moment wear off, that's when I see, what have I done? I see the disgusting side of that lie that I bought into. I don't know, it might be me. Y'all got it all together. Y'all got it all together. I know for me, when I struggle with sin, like y'all got it together. I know for me, I might enjoy the moment of trying to defend what's right, what's wrong, whatever the case may be. I might enjoy that moment, but later on, when things kind of settle down, it works. And it eats away. It eats at me. It eats at me away. Christian, you have dishonored the Lord. So that hope I thought I was going to get from whatever I was participating in, it lied to me. And whatever hope that you're looking at trying to participate in outside of Christ is lying to you. It's just continued lying to you. But hope can only be found in Jesus. That's the hope that truly can satisfy you. That's an everlasting hope. And for those that seek their hope, they will be rejected. The people in Israel, they didn't want that hope. They wanted a temporary hope. They didn't want to go through suffering. They thought God didn't know what he was doing allowing them going through the Exodus. But God's ways surpasses our ways. God is wise. And by God allowing them to go through that, he was shaping them and molding them and allowing them to see their heart to conform to Christ. And family, that's the same thing he do to us. I don't know where you guys are at in your walk right now with Christ. Don't think everybody just against you. Could it be the Lord molding and growing you in his own favor, in his own grace? A lot of time we make this award. I mean, somebody from folks might just not like you. They might just be hating on you, whatever the case may be. But that's not the ultimate reason why you're going through it because of them. Stop looking at them in front of you like they're the problem. But God is allowing you to encounter and meet people, to know people, to have certain jobs, to go to take classes, to have kids. God has given you all these things in your life and everything to use these things to form the person that you are to the person of Christ. So there's no reason why God is letting you go through this. So let us not continue like blaming and pointing and say, no, Lord, right now, in the midst of these trials, what are you showing me about my heart? Even though they might have gossiped about you, they might have did something so wrong. So, Lord, what are you showing me about my heart? The Lord is going to tell you. He's going to take care of them. He's going to deal with them. But ask us what we're doing. The Israelites got this wrong. They didn't ask that question. They said the Lord doesn't mean good for them. We need new gods. And guess what they did? They built their own gods. They bought pagan gods, and they sacrificed to these pagan gods. This right here, the God of gold, this calf, this who brought us out of Egypt. Not the God of glory, this calf brought us out. You see how problematic this is? The same God that brought them out, they turned their back on him and worship a calf made out of gold. They rejected Moses. But family, they're going to reject you. But be encouraged. Your name is written in the book of life for those that are in Christ. Moses wasn't afraid. You don't have to be afraid what tomorrow may bring. You don't have to be afraid. You got people right here amongst you right now. We're fighting in this world. We come back together today. We get to love one another and build one another up. We know this is not our home. God goes to prepare a place for us. Point number three, as we end here tonight. God gave them over to worship the host of heaven. This is like Romans 1 language right here. How God gave people over to the reprobate ways. This is scary language here. But God turned away and gave them over to worship the host of heaven. At first, it was a test right from God to build them up. After God revealed their heart that they failed a test and they didn't want to have anything to do with God, guess what God did? God gave them the desires of their heart. He gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as is written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring to me slain beasts and sacrifices during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You took up the tent of Moloch and the star of your god, Rephan, the images that you made to worship, and I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Benson says this. Hey, did you quote Benson? A little bit, okay. Then God turned. Upon this, God, being most righteously provoked, he turned away from them in anger. And as in many other instances, punished one sin by letting them fall into another. And at the length gave them up in succeeding ages to the most abandoned public and general idolatry, even to worship all the host of heaven. Family, this is scary when God gives us over to our own desires. A lot of us, that's what we're going through right now. A lot of times people, we feel like they're doing so well in life, like everything's working out. But it could be God's judgment upon you. I think in Psalm 73, I says this, the son of Asaph. Asaph was crying out to the Lord. He's crying out. He said, why the wicked people, they're thriving. All the wicked people getting all the blessings. And Asa was crying out to the Lord, hey, I read your word every day. I did what's right every day. Why am I not getting blessings? Lord, they're getting the new chargers. They're getting all the new cars. They're getting all the money. They're getting everything that I want, Lord. They're getting everything from me, Lord. I'm following after you, and it seems like nothing is working out for me. Have you ever thought that way before? That's what Asa was doing in Psalm 73. Why are the wicked people blessing, getting blessings? Why are the Christians or the people that trust in God, some of them getting curses? It doesn't make sense. At the end of that same Psalm Asa, the Lord revealed himself to him. The Lord said to him, Asa, come here, son. Come here. The Lord said, look at him. I gave them these things so they can die in. I gave them the hearts of the desire. They didn't want me. I gave them the chargers. I gave them the money. I gave them the jobs. I gave them everything they wanted so they can die and go to hell. That's scary, isn't it? That's scary when God gives us what we really want in our own heart. And sometimes we try to manipulate God. We try to put God's name on it, but we really want in our own heart, not to worship God, but to worship ourselves. And that's what these people wanted. They wanted golden calf. They wanted their own God. They didn't want the God of Israel that brought them out of Egypt and said, keep my commandments. They wanted God to set them free so they could live in bondage, still live in sin. They only wanted God to set them free so they can continue living in sin. That's all they wanted. So God said, okay, I'm going to set you free, and I'm going to let you go right back into bondage, into idol worship. And that's what God done here. God led them into the wilderness. Now God allowed them to worship the host of heaven. Instead of giving God his proper worship, they honored Moloch and Rephan. Moloch was a Canaanite god that people would sacrifice babies to. You might see it on a picture or whatever. Moloch was this pagan god. They would give offerings to babies. They would sacrifice babies to Moloch. And Rephan was the star god, what we know as, I think it's the Roman and Greek gods, called Saturn. It was the god of the heaven, Saturn. But the people of Israel, not just not just dishonor the Lord, but they actually worship these same gods. Because the end of verse 3 tells us, the images that you made to worship, and I will send you into the exile beyond Babylon. The people of Israel wasn't sent to Babylon until after the judges. So what is Stephen doing in here? Stephen now passes the torch from Moses to the temple. Now Stephen now letting them know is that the same people that rejected Moses, Stephen said it went all the way over to Babylon too. In Daniel day, right? In the day of Daniel, in the day of the judges, in the day of the kings, they continue rejecting the Lord. This was just when the prophet Moses day, there was a continued problem. And Stephen is letting us know is that our fathers continue rejecting the things of God. So Stephen, the entire history of the Israelites can be understood in the same thing. The people the Lord had drawn out of bondage are the same people rejecting God. That's what Stephen is getting at. So Stephen is not only thinking about Moses, he's thinking about the Jews that are before him and also in the first century too. They say all of a lot of the right things, but their hearts are far away from the Lord. And we know this because they have Stephen before them, hoping that they can stone Stephen at the end of the day. So family, if all these people rejected God throughout the Bible, what about us here that say we're Christians? Where is our allegiance to? Do we say all the right Christian answers? Or are we rejecting Christ? We reject Christ every day when we choose the desires of the flesh over honoring Christ. So may our worship and our lives be honoring to Christ. May we do everything conforming to Christ. May we be patient and trusting the Lord, whatever he got in store for us. If it's driving all across the state of Arkansas to places like Crossett, or going to work to Sheridan, or driving all over the place, or working on the campus, or working with them kids, or dropping all pieces, or even at CR. Or, I forget what major work is, but regardless of being in school, there you go, or home with them kids, Alina, in shape, them kids. Regardless of where we all are at in life, are you going to reject Christ or are you going to honor Christ? As we leave here, you will be tested. Maybe your spouse is going to test you. Jerry, your spouse is going to test you. I ain't going to say y'all too. Y'all already know. Y'all can test each other. You're catching us up. We're going to be tested. But will you honor the Lord or will you give in to your own desires and be just like the people in Egypt? Well, Stephen, as he's finishing this message, getting close to the end, he actually throwing shots at them. And they don't even know it yet. Stephen's being pretty cool. Stephen's actually talking about them, that they are the ones rejecting God, the people he's talking to. But he can't say that right now. We got to hear the rest of the message first. Then he's going to say that. Then they're going to kill him. But not yet. He's not going to tell them yet because he got to get all this out first. Then they're going to kill him. Okay? So let us be encouraged. As we end here, let me say one last thing as we end here is that a lot of times we can get so caught up with all these different stories, what Stephen is doing, things of that. Stephen is proclaiming the gospel. That's what he's trying to get at here. He's trying to let them know is that the same God of the Old Testament can be found in Jesus. And even for us here today, a lot of times we hear all this stuff right here. What question? I don't know what you're talking about today. I don't know this stuff that makes sense. That's fine if you don't understand a lot of these things. Let me say one thing. Let me say, just give a few last seconds here. Is that, and I said it earlier when I started off, is that God is perfect. We all have sinned against God. And God sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. For those that are outside of Christ, that are not trusting in Christ, they're trying to work themselves up to God. If it's Black Hebrew Israelites, if it's Muslims, whatever the case may be, They're trying to do more work, trying to climb to God. I did this, God. I did this. I did this. They're trying their best to climb to God. I did this. I did this. The Bible says the ways of sin and death. That regardless of how much you try to climb and get to God, like the Tower of Babel, they try to race themselves to God. Regardless of how we try to reach to God, we already are disqualified. You might as well stop trying. One sin has disqualified you. And every religion, Buddhism, every religion in the world, even atheism is a religion. It's a belief system. Is that the more you get entwined with self or nature, the more blessed you're going to be. The more self-sustaining you're going to be. The more you do this, the more you do this. The Christian gospel is totally different from every religion in the world. That Jesus lived a life for us. That Jesus made it to the Father by his obedience. And by doing that, by Jesus doing that, making it to the Father, Jesus brings us to the Father by us believing in him. We believe that he died for us. He did the work that we can't do. That's the good news. We believe in Jesus, not our works, because we fail every day. But as God gives us and as we make it, as we believe in that good news, God also gives the Holy Spirit to keep us in that good news. Even when hard times come, the Holy Spirit keeps us and reminds us of God's goodness. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.